We are going to talk movies with Mike Mayo. Want to see more of Mike's movie reviews? Find out about his books, that sort of thing? Go to mike-mayo.com. Mike, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm on vacation this week, but taking a little time off from taking a time off to talk about movies and stuff.
Excellent. We appreciate that. So, interesting story. It's been in the news the last couple of weeks. We talked about it briefly. And Scarlett Johansson was going to star in a movie called Rub and Tug. And it's about a woman who pretended to be a man. She ran a massage parlor, was a minor criminal. And there's an awful lot of complaining about this. And essentially it was, well, only trans people should play trans people. Scarlett Johansson, as a woman, should not act as a woman pretending to be a man, even though that woman was pretending to be a man. I'll just let you comment on that.
Well, do you remember many, many years ago, there was they made a terrific movie called Victor Victoria,
right,
in which Julie Andrews played a woman pretending to be a man who was pretending to be a woman. And I just saw that again recently, and it remains just a terrifically funny movie that really has an awful lot to say to today's current, what should we call it, climate of unease when it comes to sexual roles and everything. And I am kind of astonished by all of this stuff, and I really think it's mostly the people with various causes and axes to grind that just want a little attention. That's all this is really about. Because Dwayne Johnson was just criticized by some group for playing a character with one leg, who has two legs. You know, how dare he? And I would also remind you that just a few years ago, Scarlett Johansson played a computer program In the movie Her. Why didn't they get a real computer program to do that, too? I mean, she was just the voice of it. But still, I mean, this is all just so ridiculous. I think any serious person can do is just laugh at it.
Yeah, I mean, you've highlighted the absurdity of this stuff. I mean, it's acting. You're always playing someone you aren't, and, you know, unless it's, you know, some kind of one-man show memoir of your life or, you know, some kind of thing like that. And I'm going to guess none of these people would complain about non-traditional casting if you say, I don't know, 12 Angry Men, you know, and it turns out not to be an all-white male cast. No one's going to complain that you weren't loyal to the source material.
And then what if all of them weren't angry either?
Yeah, no kidding. Which, by the way, if you haven't seen that, it's really a good movie. It's
a terrific movie.
It's just 12 guys there arguing, but it's really, really good. So, and anyway, as you say, this is just rather silly. So enough of that, and let's get on with it coming on DVD and pay-per-view today, because we have plenty of them. And first up is Amy Schumer not doing too well in I Feel Pretty, and I believe we have a clip.
You got dumped?
Can you stop saying dumped?
Of course. I'm sorry. I just assumed that she wouldn't have to deal with stuff like that.
What? Because of my body or something like that.
Your body, your whole head. Do you have every rib that I have? Everything really worked out for you.
But
where even are your organs?
I've always dealt with being really insecure, so it's nice to hear.
Shut up forever. What?
So, Mike, you want to let us know what's going on here?
Yeah, this is Amy Schumer, and she's kind of this. Well, she's Amy Schumer, you know. She's this kind of schlubby-looking woman. I mean, very attractive, but not model thin, and you know, just with a body that is completely out of proportion to reality. And so she's arguing there. I believe that was Emily Ratajkowski that she was talking to, though I haven't seen the movie in a while, so I can't remember that scene exactly. Anyway, the point of the movie is we take that old Hollywood cliche. Well, actually, it's older than Hollywood of getting a bump on the head and then becoming someone you're not. Or in this case, after she gets a bump on the head in an exercise class, she has the idea that she is a supermodel, that she is that thin and her body is that great, and then that gives her the confidence to go out and be the woman that she always could be. And it's a good premise for a comedy, and it turns into kind of a standard romantic comedy in some ways. But it's not, to me, this is not what Amy Schumer does best. I really liked her other stuff, like Trainwreck, where she was, you know, really challenging a lot of conventional ideas. and doing it very, very well, and with humor that often made me uncomfortable. It also made me laugh a lot. And I just didn't laugh as much at this movie as I did at Trainwreck and some of the other things she's done.
So let's talk now about Isle of Dogs, and we've got a clip for this one as well.
Wait a second. Before we attack each other and tear ourselves to shreds like a pack of maniacs, let's just open the sack first and see what's actually in it. It might not even be worth the trouble.
I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Hi.
A rancid apple core, two worm-eaten banana peels, a moldy rice cake, a dried-up pickle, tin of sardine bones, a pile of broken eggshells, an old smushed-up rotten gizzard with maggots all over it.
Okay, it's worth it.
So, Mike, hold on. Do I have this right? We have Scarlett Johansson, Bryan Cranston, and other humans playing dogs? We don't have dogs playing the dogs?
Actually playing animated dogs. How dare they?
Yeah, no kidding.
This is Wes Anderson, and he is doing stop-motion animation, the same kind of thing he did a few years ago in The Fantastic Mr. Fox. And it's hard to describe. It's kind of... particularly if you compare it to the CGI animation that comes from the big studios, it's got this real homemade look to it, and it's also just kind of off-putting in some ways. And it's meant to be that way. This is kind of set in this dystopian Japanese future, and all the dogs have been set off to this island, and this one boy goes and tries to find his dog. Yeah, it has its moments, but... I just never could get behind this movie the way I could other Wes Anderson stuff. Like a couple of years ago, Grand Budapest Hotel, one of my favorite movies. I love that movie, and just to me, this one just lacked the charm. Maybe it's just really because the animation style put me off so much. This is the same technique that they do the Aardman, Wallace, and Gromit stuff in Shaun the Sheep, you know, where you move a little figure one little bit at a time. But, for me, it just didn't work. If you're a real big Wes Anderson fan, I think you'd like it. And I can't recommend it for kids either, even though it is a movie about kids and dogs. I just didn't see that. To me, it was not something that kids would like an awful lot.
So how does the stop-motion animation hold up in the days of CGI, when you're just the wonders that you get, say, from Pixar and things like that?
Well, it is very inventive, and the backgrounds and the settings they use all have a very distinct visual look to them. And like I say, to me, it was kind of off-putting. I just felt like this was not a world I really wanted to be in, the way I have with other movies like that. And I don't say that about the Wallace and Gromit movies. They're just done so differently. Then there's something so goofy about their humor that I really enjoy them much more than this. And this was not very successful in the theater, and I don't think it will be on home video either. It's just really quirky Wes Anderson stuff.
Now, next up, one of, at least in my memory, going back to growing up in the 80s, one of the most fun video games of that time made into a movie with Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, and this is Rampage, and I'm not familiar with the game, so I didn't bring anything to this one. It's, again, done with the motion capture animation, the same thing they used for Gollum in the Lord of the Rings movie, and they used for most all of the characters in the Planet of the Apes movies. And the guy who, and I don't have his name down here, who plays George, the silverback gorilla, who's really kind of Dwayne Johnson's co-star here, he's really good. This guy does just really, really good gorilla stuff. And he is a big silverback gorilla who is kind of poisoned by this evil corporation, and then he starts to grow to gigantic size. But still, he's got Dwayne Johnson there to help protect him. And then there's this huge wolf monster kind of thing, too, flying wolf monster that they all do battle with. And at the end, it's just, you know, big special effects fighting each other. And one could argue, I guess, that's what Dwayne Johnson is, too. But he brings his normal charm to everything. He is doing his thing very, very well. And so I enjoyed it for that reason. I can't say the other side of it really did all that much to me, but it is sort of fun.
All right, and it's been a long time since the first one, but now we've got Super Troopers 2.
I know, and I don't understand, you know, if they were going to make a sequel, why they waited so long. Maybe, you know, it was always just kind of a cult hit, not something that really had a huge audience. But this follows, you know, the same guys who were the Vermont troopers in the first one, you know, chugging maple syrup and things like that again. And Linda Carter is back as the governor of Vermont. And the gimmick here is that they misdrew a map many, many years ago. And part of Quebec is actually belongs to America. And so she sends them up there along with their boss, again played by Brian Cox, to straighten things out. It's goofy, it's silly. You either like that stuff or you don't. I found this one to be not quite as amusing as the first one, just because the first one was so fresh and strange and funny. I'd never thought of that kind of stuff being the subject of humor. And so it's more the same. I guess the bottom line is it's about as good as you would expect any kind of sequel like this to be when you've waited so long for it.
All right, one left, and I have to say that this does not look terribly promising. Truth or Dare, a horror movie.
No, yeah, this is from the Blumhouse Group, and they really specialize and do make tons of money with this, of making these relatively low-budget but very polished horror movies with kind of blandly attractive young casts. Last year, I really liked one they did called Happy Death Day that has a sense of humor to it, and this is much the same kind of thing. A group of kids go down to Mexico on vacation and get suckered into a game of truth or dare, and it turns out that if you don't tell the truth or follow the dare, something really terrible happens to you, you get killed. They go back home and the game is still going on. It's sort of similar to the Final Destination horror films from back in the early part of this century, in the 2000s. I really liked those movies. I thought they were a lot of fun, too, just for, you know, kind of goofy horror movies figuring up inventive ways to kill off their characters. And this does the same thing, but to me it just wasn't as much fun as the first one. By the way, it was PG-13 in theaters, and there's a director's unrated cut available, too, that I haven't seen, so I really can't comment on that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's much, much better. Probably Oscar material.
Oh, yeah, I'm positive.
All right, 820. Mike, thanks. We'll talk again next week.
Take care, guys.